It's time to Talk It Over, starring Diane Diamond, Lee J. Berman, and Louise Palanker. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. Email us at talkitover@gmail.com. Join us online at talkitoverradio.com. Because we're ready to talk it over.
Yes, we are. In fact, we're already talking it over here. We are the radio program that tackles the world's conflicts. Two people at a time. We're at your service to help you with any of those annoying people in your life. You just can't figure out how to deal with them. You can give us a call here, 888-531-7171. I'm Diane Diamond, journalist, author, columnist, just one third of your hostage here today. Is that a word, Louise?
I think you just anointed it.
I was waiting for triumphant or
please call
tripartite
Webster's.
Or something from, you know, she's a journalist after
she's
all.
She's got a lot. She has words in her heads and she knows how to say them.
I don't know. Well, that woman you hear talking there, that's Louise Palanker. She's our resident comedian, author, and professional wiseacre. We call her Wheezy. Hi, Wheezy.
Hi, DD.
How you doing? And that guy over there, he's the reason we're here, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lee J. Berman, our professional mediator. How you doing, Lee J.?
I'm doing great.
He does this for a living. You know, he does the, this is how he makes his living.
He's but the only reason you and I are able to speak
this is
to
like
each
my
other
day
without,
off.
Without exchanging blows. He keeps,
I know.
Yes, he keeps you and I at a safe distance and makes sure that we're civil. He removes all the guns from our holsters when we enter the studio.
For everyone who's listening, I actually do come to chair to work with a whip and a chair with these two.
With, yes, DD and I. We're fiery. We're both so fiery.
He usually charges people for it, but on this radio program, he gives you his stellar professional mediation advice for free. So you can give us a call, 888-531-7171, or you could just email us if you're shy, talkitover@gmail.com. Lots of stuff in the news this week.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
A little bit. Wow.
We have to talk about Haiti just for one moment. There's no talking it over point to be made here, but my heart and prayers and thoughts go out to those devastated people. It's unbelievable to watch it.
It's just horrific. What a horrible catastrophe. And it just, if nothing else, if it doesn't make us appreciate what we have and who we have, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from a talk it over standpoint, you really do hope that they are able to talk it over as this aid money starts coming in, as they're working together to find lost relatives and everything else. You know, you read about the U.S. government going in and, you know, taking over the airport to bring order and all that sort of thing. And I think it's just really important that they keep talking it over down there.
And between us, there are so many great charities through which we can contribute and can help, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, Doctors Without Borders, so many others, and we'll put links up on our website. I know you can text on your phone. It's so much easier now to give.
Yeah, it really is. And so many people are suggesting you text.
Yes.
You know, the White House and different radio, TV programs. We don't have a text to offer, but there's enough out there. That we'll put some up on our website, you say, Louise?
Absolutely.
Good, good, good. All right, let's get on to some of the news. Boy, oh boy, this is one of those employee-employer disputes that we talk about so often here on Talk It Over, but we've never seen one like Jay Leno versus Conan O'Brien versus the NBC executives who, in my constitutionally protected opinion, could not program their way out of a paper bag. That's another story. What do you make of this, Lee J? Boy, you talk about a triumphant needing a talk it over moment. What happened there?
Well, you know, it's funny. As we were chatting amongst ourselves before we went live on the air, Louise said it perfectly. She said, usually you don't have an employee who's got the financial wherewithal and the following to call their boss out in public.
Wouldn't it be awesome if somebody were you know, disregarded for the raise or for the promotion, and like everyone in his department started marching outside of the building with signs that says, "I'm with Lolo," or whatever they would say if they were with me. But you know what? I came up with this analogy.
Wait,
it's like
Lolo.
Well, they're all saying I'm with Coco. If they're with Conan, because they made up because it's endearing. It's a nickname for the redhead. But But to me, it's like NBC is the husband who's had this mistress, right? And he said to the mistress, hey, if you hang around for 5 years, I'll divorce my wife and marry you. And then the 5 years was up and he said to the mistress, okay, well, my wife's just going to move to the front room, but you can move into the bedroom with me.
Yeah.
And then 6 months later said to the mistress, you know what? My wife wants to move back into the bedroom.
Well, it started with, I'm going to go visit her in the guest room first for half an hour before I come to you.
You don't mind now, do you, dear?
And NBC is just being a greedy, polygamist. Yeah. NBC. Come on, NBC, pick a wife. Good Lord.
It's just been so crazy. You know, I used to work for NBC and that's another whole story. But the whole thing with this is somebody didn't talk to somebody. And so there's been this whole chain of events way back when they promised Conan O'Brien, hey, in 5 years, we're going to give you that Tonight Show that Jay Leno's on. And he's already number one at it. But don't worry, in 5 years, he probably will want to retire. But they never really talked to Jay Leno about it. So it's
have
a perfect example.
Yeah. Because in 20 years, he's not going to want to retire.
No.
Well, I don't know. You know Jay, because in your world as a comedian, you've dealt with him. But the point is very clear, though. Somewhere along the line of communication broke down, and look at the mess they've created for themselves.
You know, it looks to me like a decision that was made by committee. There's a reason why there's never, ever been a statue, a monument erected to a committee. And I think we're seeing it right here. You know, leadership with a corporation like this and with a decision this large, leadership has to come from one decision maker. And I agree with you, Diane. They weren't talking to each other. People were just doing things and throwing out ideas and patching what needed to be sewn.
No, basically saying we don't want this guy going up against us. Yeah. So we've got to appease this guy, appease this guy, appease this guy, appease that guy, appease
Leno,
this guy.
You mean Leno?
Both. Conan.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago
saying,
if you don't go to, if Conan would have bolted 5 years ago and gone to Fox by now, it worked for Dave.
It's like the calls we get from the teenage boys who say, my ex-girlfriend's dating a guy and I'm really jealous. Yeah. Well, what are you doing? Well, I've been dating this girl for 3 months. Then why are you jealous? You know, it's the same situation.
Right. You can't.
So NBC's being teenagers?
I just think they're being... We can't have everything. We have to be happy with success within our own realm of what we're capable of maintaining and keeping the people around us happy. We can't keep everyone happy and keep everyone hovering around us. We're not three networks anymore, Diane. We're a lot of different networks, and we can't have all the talent.
Good point.
Let the talent run free. Free range talent. Go ahead.
You know what bothers me in this? Because there was this breakdown in communication. Yeah. See, Lee J, you should have been in there with your talk it over moments. But because of that, you know what I see is evolving as the trend now is to slam Jay Leno for being greedy taking back the Tonight Show. It's not up to him. It's up to the NBC executives. I lay it squarely at their door. Mm-hmm. They created the monster. They created the problem and therefore created the monsters. And I have great respect for what Conan O'Brien did.
And it's like parents pitting their two kids against each other. Nobody's winning. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, this is just a thing where it's typical of every conflict. The conflict flares up. They're in the middle of the conflict. The decision didn't have to be made in that moment. This problem has been going on for a while now. But in the middle of the conflict, nobody stopped to say, maybe we should bring somebody in. Instead, they made snap decisions. They didn't...
Like a mediator, you mean?
Yeah, the communication broke down. The way to do this, it would have been messy, but it would have been the better way to do it, would be to sit down in one big room with Conan's people and Jay's people and NBC executives and say, we collectively have a problem. The ratings are stinking. We're getting killed by the other networks and by cable, and we've got to figure out what to do. Let's put our heads together and come up. Then you have buy-in from everybody instead of war. And now they're doing exactly what Diane said. They're running and covering their own rear ends by passing the blame and blaming everybody else's camp instead of fessing up for what they did wrong and saying, let's fix this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
we are a family.
Happens.
Let's. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it too late to bring back Jack Parr?
when there's a big problem, what? Then there's got to be one scapegoat that everybody turns to and says, see, it's your problem. Yeah. And I think, now to bring in a third character, I think Letterman is fanning those flames.
Hey, he's having a ball.
He's having Leno, so much fun.
He wants everything. He gets everything, you know. And now everybody's against Jay Leno. Not fair, in my opinion.
I don't think everybody. I think in the industry, he's the fun guy to pick on right now. But I don't think that the world, you know, as a greater community in or the comedy fans in general are anti. Jay's going to bounce back, and Jay's going to do just fine. He's very entertaining. People love to watch him.
But we have to talk about who owned the problem. And the truth here is that that NBC, the network, owned the problem.
Yes.
Ratings at 10 o'clock were terrible because people wanted drama. The news stations and the affiliates were all complaining because people weren't watching the news. It wasn't leading into Conan the way he wanted to. And then he was bombing in comparison to Letterman. They had a problem that was everybody's. Mm-hmm. And that's who should have been involved in solving it. That's where I come
from. So you're saying whoever owns the problem has to own the salvation.
Has to be involved in the solution. And if they're left
paging Mr. Zucker, paging Mr. Jeffrey Zucker.
Yeah, his name hasn't even come up, you know, and, you know, we need to bring up his name so we can slam it down on the pavement, and then we can move on with our show.
I just did. So
Thank you, Diane.
We got a caller.
All right, let's do it.
We do. All right, next up on the Tuck It Over lines, we've got Suzanne. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure. Thank you for calling Tuck It Over. Suzanne, tell us what's going on with you.
Thank you. Well, I have a very large extended family, mm-hmm. and when my brother married, they had a daughter, and when she was 2 years old, she was diagnosed with a severe peanut allergy.
Oh.
And she just turned 12. And so this has been going on for a very long time. And to this day, it's still hysteria. When they come to dinner, whenever there's a family function, holidays, it's a major blowout. They get completely hysterical over her peanut allergy.
So you don't rent Mr. Peanut as a kind of child's entertainer? No?
No.
I think that would be
that
funny.
That wouldn't go over very well.
No, okay, never mind.
So Suzanne's calling to find out how to talk it over with the family and how to get this child out of the family, right?
Exactly. We love her dearly, but my brother is a nut. He's completely hysterical about it.
Unintended.
A nut, so to speak. Yeah.
I've known this for 10 years, and, you know, we put bread on the table. Where's the bread from? Let me read the label.
Okay, what happens?
I had a bottle of water one time, and they said, let's read the label on this.
On water? Ridiculous. Is this peanut water? Okay.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. What are the consequences if this child ingests peanuts? What happens?
You know, I've never seen a reaction, but apparently from what they said, well, according to them, she could die. But
it's true. It's a very bad allergy. I have a child in my family with it, and their lips, throat, esophagus swell shut, and they can die if it's that bad.
Airwaves, yes.
My wife has these kinds of allergies to various foods. It's not as easily identifiable as peanuts, and it causes major anaphylactic shock.
Her allergy is to my cooking. Specifically.
You cook.
That's just it. That's why I don't.
All right, Suzanne. So tell us what you want to talk over here with your family about their being so.
They don't trust you guys to have a peanut free environment.
Trust us. And this is they will never trust us. It's been 10 years, and I'm just wondering, basically, how can we make dinners more amicable? You know, like when Christmas comes, the second they walk in the door, I say, everything is safe. The only thing you can't have is this because we're not sure. Like, I make it completely clear.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, okay, great. And then as soon as we sit down, the drama starts.
What if they brought the food for her?
Well, we suggested that, and they took, it was highly offensive to them. Like, how can we not, you know, come to your house and have dinner and down, and you're not making the effort, and it's just drama.
So, Suzanne, here's what's going on.
It's not the allergy, it's the drama is the problem.
Okay. Yeah, so here's what's going on. They're trying to be good, protective parents, and they're being overly protective, which they don't see as a problem.
But they're scared. That's what's
fueling it. B, they're scared because the punishment doesn't fit the crime for this one. Because, oops, something that was made in a factory that nuts are also produced, and suddenly the child could potentially die or go to the ER. There's no such thing as being overly protective in their minds of that. So knowing those things, and knowing that you tried Louise's suggestion already, it seems to me the best thing you could do, and this puts more onus on you, but if you really want to remove the drama or preempt it from the dinner table. It seems the right thing to do. Welcome them to the house, hugs, kisses everybody, come on in, settle in, and then grab the mother or the father or whichever one you think you need to do this with and walk them into the kitchen and go, okay, here's what I made. Here are the ingredients. Look over whatever you want to. Ask any questions that you want to. If there's anything here you think that she shouldn't have, that's great. But if you head it off the minute they walk in the door, just sneak off with one of them into the kitchen so that that one can come out and wink at the other one and say, I've checked it out, everything is fine. Then you can have a nice, relaxing family dinner and tell jokes and talk about Leno and Letterman like everybody else.
Is this child
brilliant? Why didn't I think of that?
Oh, because you were doing the right thing. You were saying, this is not my problem. I've bent over backwards to help. Now it's their problem.
Right.
And it really is your problem in the end because you want to have a calm dinner and this upsets you. So you can preempt it. But we don't think of it that way, do we?
I'm going to do that. Thank you.
I have one question before we close. Is this child terrified of eating because of the way her parents have created this, fearful
just,
environment?
They homeschool her because it's just, they don't want her exposed to peanuts. It's this huge control thing. So yeah, she is. She's afraid of a lot of things.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's a whole other phone call. Yeah.
I feel for her.
Yeah. And she's going into the beautiful
young
woman.
You take back control of your own kitchen there, Suzanne, and you just tell them right up front.
I will. That's a great... Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. That is great advice. I'm going to do it.
All right. So when you sit down at the calm table the next time, you raise a glass and give a toast to us, and we hope you enjoy all the rest of your dinners.
I sure will, and I'll call you back, and I'll let you know how it went.
Great,
wonderful.
Suzanne.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Bye-bye.
Interesting. Well, you are listening to Talk It Over Radio. To join in our discussion, 888-531-7171. If you can't get through, leave us a message. Our beautiful producer, Trish, will call you back. 888-531-7171. You can also drop us an email to talkitover@gmail.com.
Talk It Over is sponsored in part by the American Institute of Mediation, where leading mediators turn to continue their learning and career development.
You are listening to Talk It Over Radio, the radio show about conflict and resolution and all of that fascinating stuff that happens in between. I'm Louise Blanker here with Lee J. Berman and Diane Diamond. And what do we have coming up next, Diane?
Oh, well, I guess we have some emails. talkitover@gmail.com. The mailbox is filling up here. Let's take this one from Kathy in Dover, Delaware. Oh, I don't know we've ever had one from Delaware. Hello, Talk It Over. Here's my problem. My husband and I are newly married, and we just moved into his house. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, I see this one coming. I have a lot of things, furniture, knickknacks, all of my sewing equipment and things that make me feel at home. But there's no room for my things in his house. He has two kids who are with him on the weekends. At first, I was excited to be married and sharing my life with him. But now that my things are stuffed in the garage, I would like to set up some space for myself. But he and his sons occupy the house. There is no room for me and I'm starting to feel resentful. What do you suggest? Kathy, how about a prenup discussion about all this? I guess it's too late for that, though.
You know, when people fall in love, they're so eager to move forward with their lives together, and they don't think about the particulars of what being a unit entails. And I think that she could send away for one of those sheds they show you on TV that you can build in a day that look very house-like.
And
plug in a space heater and start sewing.
A coffee maker.
Or she could sew herself a room. She could sew herself her own room.
Long extension cord.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Big orange cord through the backyard.
But you know, Lisa, you must run into this, that people really don't talk about the particulars of being together.
And what happens is, and Louise hit it right in the nose, when they are in love, they also bring with them expectations about how they wanted to be loved and how they thought marriage was going to go and how they thought the other person was going to take care of them. And I'm reading between the lines here that Kathy in Dover, Delaware came to the table and said, I expected the boys and the men here to make some room for me. That I expected to have a guy.
They spill.
Let's start there.
Men spill. There's men debris anywhere a man walks.
A man
look in his way.
Louise, we're going to get to your issue next. But, you know, I think she came to the table and thought that, you know, that her new husband would have had a talk with the sons and they would have carved some space out because he would have recognized that sewing is important to her and all that. And all he's thinking is, thank goodness that wedding's behind us.
And that someone's going to cook now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to be a little bit more analytical here. And in her, because I'm looking right at the email, it says, but there's no room for my things in his house. He has two kids who are with him on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Sounds like they didn't even talk about the children's visitation and what that would entail. And you got three bedrooms. Where can I have a closet? And nothing, yeah. Not one bit of discussion about it. You know, too bad.
As we watch this email, Diane, I agree with you. You look at her words. The second to last sentence says, there is no room for me, and I'm starting to feel resentful. So
she's got to sit and talk it over
exactly.
with her husband, doesn't
it's
she?
It's going to build up. It'll just build up.
Yeah. It's time to sit him down and say, so how do you think I best fit into this house? Because you know some of these things are important to me and make me feel like they're creatures. They make me feel like a creature of comfort and they make me feel like I'm home. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. right now those things are in the garage. So I don't need all of them, but I do need some space for some of these things. How do you suggest we do this?
She needs her own little corner of the world.
Yes.
She does.
Well, and toss the ball into his court, right?
Or do it with him, definitely. I mean, mm-hmm. the worst thing that Kathy could possibly do is walk in there. I hope you're listening, Kathy, is walk in there and say, I want this part of this room because I need to have it for my stuff. Because then he gets what? He gets defensive and all of that, right?
Let me tell you a little story. Every time I open my mouth, there's the potential that I will tell you a little story. Just so
gather around, everyone. It's time for
gather
easy
around.
Story.
In St. Olaf, no. I'm making a movie. I'm making a documentary, and so there's a co-filmmaker who's at my home every day with me.
You know, at this point, I think it's okay to say
I'm still making a movie. I'm making a movie about the cow sales, and now we're at the end sprint, but. But this is the way he did it, and I think this is so great. And he's only 27 years old, but he did this, and this was so great. Because a lot of my home is occupied, and I had put him in an area that he was sharing with someone else who works for me, he walked into the kitchen where there's a breakfast nook, and he walked up to me and he said, can I ask you a question? How often do you use this space? That was the way a 27-year-old prefaced his request for that space.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me, how often do you use this space? And when I determined that I don't use it that often, mm-hmm. that my boyfriend sometimes uses it on weekend, but he also can use this space and he can use this space. And then we went to IKEA, we bought him a table, he set up shop, and he now has an amazing corner of the kitchen that looks out onto a beautiful canyon. And from there, he feels more like himself. And I think if what's our emailer's name? What's her name?
Kathy from Dover, Kathy. Delaware.
You know, to not walk into a space and say, I demand this space, but to just inquire, hey, how often is this space utilized? And, you know, and mm-hmm. then slowly you can kind of, sometimes all you need is like your own pillow or your own something that came from your world into your new world.
Yeah, she needs more than a pillow. She needs to say, hey, look, the boys only are here on the weekend.
Yeah.
So during the week, I'm going to take this space. Is that all right with you? How do you see me fitting? I mean, Lee J's words are exactly right. How do you see me fitting in mm-hmm. to
and,
this
and,
house?
You know, he's got to recognize, too, that Kathy's the one who left her home to move in with him. She's going through all the change. He's really not yet.
Right.
And but it's not just Kathy and Dover. Couples everywhere are going through this. As mm-hmm. we all become more independent, we're all working from home offices now more so, and people are being displaced in this economy. These discussions are happening in every bedroom and every living room across the country.
And every workspace.
So, yeah.
Yep.
You know,
so. Don't get me started.
Because
my husband and I both work from home. Anyway, we have another caller, right, Matt?
Yes, we do. Next up on the Tuck It Over lines, we've got Tony. Hello, Tony.
Yes.
Tony, thanks for calling Talk It Over. Tell us what's going on with you.
Well, what's going on with me is I just got out of the hospital not long ago, and because of this hospital thing, I threw out my granddaughter, and I'm no longer talking to my son or daughter-in-law, and I don't know whether the relationship is worth the pain to salvage or not.
Well, tell us what caused you to throw them out.
Well, basically, my kids always talk about family, and when I was in the hospital, I went in on a Tuesday night. My wife and I have a date night every Tuesday, and
great.
After coming home from our date, I got this tremendous pain, and I had to be, long story short, take me to the hospital overnight. And my wife, because of her, she's had a heart attack, a stroke, she's had a partial radical mastectomy.
Wow.
She doesn't drive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she's very dependent on my granddaughter and my son to get around. And my granddaughter lives in our house and for free. She's 22 now. And she just went and she wasn't very attentive at all. My wife couldn't get her to take her to see me in the hospital.
So you kicked them out, Tony? Both of them? Your granddaughter and now her father, your son is mad at you as well?
Well, yeah, but he's always been strange. He lives only about 2 miles from here, but he had kicked out his daughter about 2 years ago, and then she came and lived with us for the last 2 years.
So, Tony, let me cut to the chase here. What do you think is the problem that's got all this angst going on in the family? What do you think it boils down to?
I think it boils down to good old-fashioned, hooray for me, you know, selfishness.
Ah.
You know, because we always, my son and my granddaughter and I, and we're always talking family, 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 and here was an example for family to show up and be there for my wife and I, and they weren't there.
So you're there for them. You take them in when they need a place to live, and it's all about gimme, 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 and then as soon as you guys need a lift to the hospital and some simple visits and care, they're not there.
Correct.
And what are there any underlying resentments that may be causing them to not want to be there for you guys when you need them? What's going on beneath the surface that
I don't know. You know, my wife and I were sort of like pulling our hair out in bed at night talking about it, mm-hmm. and we really don't know. And of course, maybe we're just being, you know, cutting ourselves some slack, but we don't really know, except that I feel like that I have four boys.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that they're cold. They've always been cold.
And cold?
Uh-huh. Cold, like insensitive.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Hooray for me, you know, that type of thing.
Was there a lot of competition between them for your attention?
So that's, you know, that's the only thing we can trace it back to, because mm-hmm. we feel like we've always lived our lives for our children.
Okay.
Tony, could I jump in here? It's Diane. Let me just ask you this. When you realized your granddaughter wasn't helping your wife while you were hospitalized, why was your first reaction to kick her out of the house? Don't you think it might have been better to sit her down, take her by the hand, and say, I really need to rely on you right now, granddaughter. I need you because I'm in the hospital to help your grandmother. Can you do that for me?
You know, Ed, that makes perfect sense. I didn't get really to talk to her since I was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she, my granddaughter has been kind of insensitive all along. My wife has had a heart attack and stroke.
Yeah.
And I've always have to come home because she doesn't drive. I have to come home and, for instance, and take my wife to her doctor's appointments. My granddaughter goes to school 2 days a week. And she works a job, and she doesn't feel any kind of need to help out, you know?
So you're the linchpin.
But you know what? You know, Tony, Louise always says, I'm going to take your words, Louise. Louise right. always says, people treat you the way you allow them to treat you.
Yes.
So
yes.
When the granddaughter started being insensitive at age 10, 12, 13, now she's 22, that probably would have been the time to say, hey, that's not the way a family acts. But now you're at the age where she's 22, she's got a father who's not too responsive. Somebody's got to sit that either. There's only two ways to go. You cut the granddaughter out of your life forever, which I don't think you want to do, or you bring her in, you sit her down and say, we were really disappointed and we need to tell you why.
Exactly.
This is the talk it over moment.
Time
right,
for
Lee
a family meeting. Time for a family meeting. As soon as you were in the hospital, Tony, the linchpin fell out of this family and it fell apart. And we can't have that happening. All the legs of this table have to be strong. And they have to support the other leg when it's weak. And it's time for a family meeting. And I'm going to throw it to Lee J because he knows how you can conduct this.
Well, Tony, it sounds like your relationship with your granddaughter is really important to you.
Well, it...
Potentially.
Yes, it has, because my wife and I, were sort of like her surrogate parents.
Yeah.
Because we practically raised her.
Okay.
All the way through middle school.
So here's what you do. In conflict resolution, we have these formulations of how to do this that we call an I statement, and it's really simple. You start with, when you did this, you know, whether it was not giving you the ride or coming to visit the hospital or whatever, here's how we felt. Not how it made me feel, because it didn't make you feel that way, but here's how we felt. And we really value you in our lives, and we don't want to lose that relationship like has happened with, you know, with your father and mother and so on.
Mm-hmm.
What we'd really want to do is work with you to build strong family ties that won't ever go away. Tell us if that's something you're interested in doing. And if so, let's talk about what we need to do to be there for each other.
You know what, Tony, we're going to take a quick break at the bottom of the hour here. We want you to hang on for a minute because Lee J's on to something really, really important here. Stand by, everybody. More of this phone call, lots of emails coming up when Talk It Over continues.
If you'd like to be part of the Talk It Over family, call 888-531-7171 anytime or send us an email to talkitover@gmail.com.
We are back with Talk It Over Radio. We are the program that helps you solve all the disputes in your life. I am Louise Planker here with Lee J. Berman and Diane Diamond. And on the phone, we have Tony, and he's going through some family disharmony involving his granddaughter and some health issues that the family is struggling to deal with. And Lee J., you were talking to Tony about how he can bring the family together and have a discussion.
Yeah, before the break, we were talking about Tony giving his granddaughter an I message that basically says, here's what we want. Do you want this too? And if so, let's talk about how we can strengthen this. Tony, how does that sound to you?
Well, that sounds like an approach for me because my wife and I, again, are been searching for an approach, whether to just, you know, my feeling is just let it all go to heck with it. But my wife is really, really, really hurt inside by the whole thing. I could tell, you know.
And let me jump on board with your wife here because, you know, we talk about teachable moments. And this granddaughter of yours, she is going to be desperately unhappy in her life if she doesn't learn how to do for others, because that is what brings us the greatest joy. And if you
right,
can teach her
right
in this moment how good she's going to feel when she helps her grandparents, the most important people in her life, then she will then learn how to be of service in her life to her friends, to the world, to the neighborhood. And if you just continue letting her take, she's going to be a desperately unhappy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tony, there's two more reasons why this is really important. One, if you've become her de facto parents, if you've become her surrogate parents, as you've described,
yeah,
if you don't teach her this, nobody else is going to, number one. And number two, you have a history with your son and daughter-in-law, and now with her, of avoiding conflict.
Yes.
Of letting people leave your life.
Yep.
And especially in your older years now, that's even harder for you to get around if you don't have the support of family and everything else. You've allowed them to leave your life rather than step into the talk it over moment. And this is an opportunity that I agree with both Diane and Louise. It's a critical opportunity, and it's one where you've got to start changing your ways some too by going through the difficult conversation with her rather than saying to heck with it and losing potentially another limb, really.
A loss to you and a loss
give,
to her.
Give Tony that exact language again, because before the break, you were onto it, Lee J. It was really good. So, sit this granddaughter down and say what to her?
Yeah. Here's why we reacted the way we did by throwing you out of the house. When you didn't offer to drive to the hospital, when you didn't come visit, we didn't feel like you were there for us, and it made us feel like we couldn't count on you. And in reflection, we really do want to count on you, and we want you to be able to count on us. We want to have the strong family bond with you that we don't have with your father and that you don't have with your father. Is that something that you want too? And if so, let's talk about our relationship, and let's talk about what we expect from each other, and let's talk about how we can make sure that we don't ever lose the bond that we have.
Yeah, that makes sense, and probably probably I was so upset I lost the moment to do that. You know?
No, you didn't lose the moment. It's okay not to have the moment
Tony.
When you're angry. That's not the right time for the moment.
Tony, let me tell you something I learned from my 12-year-old niece who just visited us this past weekend. She called up a girlfriend of hers and said, "My emotions got the better of me. I'm really sorry."
Oh, no.
And I thought that was the most beautiful language. And frankly, it might be the perfect excuse for you to open the conversation with your granddaughter again.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's good language.
Well,
I think I let my emotions get the better of me when I kicked you out. I love you dearly. Please come back to the family, but we have to talk about how we treat each other.
Yeah. That's so true, because that's what happens. The emotions come up and we tell her to leave. Get out.
Right.
Tony, we so appreciate you calling the show because we know this is difficult for you to do, have this conversation with her. Will you call us back and let us know how it goes?
I certainly will.
All right. We'd love to follow
up. Good luck to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing, Tony. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was really amazing. And he's got a lot.
You know what? That's why we do this radio show. That call right there to me, that was a man who was badly hurting physically, emotionally, spiritually. And Lee J, you just gave him such great words to say because I don't think he had them.
You know,
he couldn't find them himself.
When you say that's why we have a radio show, I couldn't agree with you more, because this thing that I do professionally, I sit in rooms with two people who are in a fight with all their lawyers and insurance adjusters and all that. If we could take the skills from that room and give those words to everybody who's listening, that's why we do this. I mean, all three of us care about resolving, like we say, the world's conflicts, two people at a time, and empowering people with the right words so they can talk it over themselves.
Well, that's all about collaborating, isn't it? And didn't
I
read a nice quote from you, Lee J. Berman? Oh, wait, that was in a column that I wrote recently for my syndicated column.
A wonderful column on collaborative law practice and how...
Yeah, you talked about that on the show and it got me so interested.
Yeah, I love it. You did all the research on it and wrote a great article about it. Collaborative law, of course, for our listeners, is a new group of lawyers around the country who have signed on to this charter that basically says we're going to collaborate and try and help resolve our clients' problems. And if
not going to fight as lawyers. We're not going to be pit bulls. We're not going to hire private detectives. We're not going to bury the other side in paperwork. We're going to join hands around the table and, short of singing Kumbaya, we're
going
to just...
For an extra fee, they will sing that, though.
They probably would. You know, Lee J, when you talked about that in one of our recent shows, I wrote it down, and I actually found the man who came up with that concept, Stuart Webb, in Minnesota, and I spoke with him. Wonderful guy. Just anyway.
Was he collaborative?
He's so collaborative. Let me tell you, I was just so excited. No, really, he was a very nice guy.
And it all came up because we had somebody who called in the show and said, I think it was a woman who called and said, my husband and I are splitting up. We don't want to go get lawyers and go to war. What do we do? And we started talking about collaborative law, and we referred her, I think, to the organization's website, the International Association of Collaborative Professionals, IACP.org. And you picked up the story and ran with it and wrote a great column just this week, right?
Thank you. And you know what? I've gotten a lot of response on it. You can see it at DianeDiamond.net, but not till it's up. It'll be up on DianeDiamond.net or DianeDiamond.com. I bought both of them. Hey, listen, we got another email here. This is from Kathy in Seabright, New Jersey. Kathy in Seabright, New Jersey. I have a great new boyfriend. We've been together about 18 months now, getting more serious all the time. One problem, he's very close to his sister, and she and I are friendly too, but she always wants us to come over to her house where her three cats trigger my bad allergies. It takes 2 days for my eyes to
trigger my bad
allergies.
What? Never mind. Go ahead.
She has allergies.
I thought those were the cats' names. Trigger my bad and allergies.
No,
that's what I named my cats. What's wrong with her? Go ahead.
I
had a friend who named his cat Stay. Come here, Stay. Come here, Stay.
Stay. Talk about needing a collaborative name.
Okay.
Anyway. So it takes 2 days for her eyes to unswell. Sister just doesn't seem to get the hint. And since I've begged off the last three invites to her house, she's starting to complain about me to her brother. I don't want anything to go wrong with this relationship. I think he could be the one. What do I do with sis and the cats?
Wow. Well, first of all, two cats is gorgeous. Three cats is borderline. Four cats is crazy. Yeah. So she's on the verge right there. But I don't think there's... We all know people with animal allergies. Mm-hmm. And we all make room in our lives for people with animal allergies. It's to be taken as seriously as a peanut allergy. I mean, it's an allergy.
Yeah, this is the allergy show, isn't it?
Yeah, it needs to be dealt with. It's not something that you just pretend that it doesn't exist. You know, my nephew tried to adopt cats, and they were in the house for a week, and we kept them in an area where, you know, he could have controlled visits, and it was just very clear that every time he came out of there, his eyes were red, and he was sneezing, and heartbreaking as it was, we had to take them back to the rescue place so they could go to a family where there were no cat allergies. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why it should be a problem that you can't, that the writer of that email can't be around the kittens. She just
Lee J., what does she say to the sister, the potential sister-in-law?
Yeah, the potential future maybe sister-in-law. She's got to say, rather than begging off is avoiding. And we always talk on the show about how avoiding a talk-it-over moment just allows the problem to fester and allows people to fill in the vacuum with whatever they want. And here, well, we'll get back to vacuuming in a minute, but here, she's got it to where the sister's complaining about her, and that's the last thing she wants because she likes this guy. She likes the brother. So... what she's got to do is have a one-on-one with the boyfriend and the boyfriend's sister with the cats and sit down with them and say, look, I really like you and I really do want to get to know you. But every time I'm here, I'm embarrassed to say this, if she is, it takes 2 days for my eyes to get back to normal and everything else. Can we work something out when I'm coming over that maybe before I'm here, the cats get put in a back bedroom somewhere and, you know, maybe she pops an Allegra or something to help with the symptoms just to get her through the evening because she does want to get to know these people and it's important.
Okay, here's my recommendation. And, you know, I'm always kind of the brass, crass, loud one.
You?
What? Crass?
Hey,
huh?
Listen, Kathy, what are you doing? Invite her over to your house once in a while.
Of course.
You know, how come everybody, we always have to go over to her house?
Go to a restaurant.
You know, in this financial day and age, not everybody wants to go out all the time to be together. So if you really want to get to know this family, when the sister asks you over next, say, hey, you know what? Be honest. Since I have so much trouble with your cats, why don't you guys come over here this time? And then next time I'll pop some Allegra and, you know, I'll try it again at your house. But get it on the table to everybody, the potential groom, his sister, and whoever else is around, that you have a serious problem with this. You're not making yourself clear, Kathy.
And also, don't
hopefully
blame
she can cook.
People love their animals. Don't blame the cats. Blame yourself. It's not the cat's fault.
Exactly.
Guns don't kill people. People
cats do.
That's it. Hey, you're listening to Talk It Over Radio. We are the radio program that solves the world's problems two people at a time. Do you hear us? We're doing it right now. Anyway, if you want in on this, give us a call, 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171, or email us at talkitover@gmail.com. Phew, I got it all out. Your
turn. Achoo.
All right.
Achoo. All right, we're going to the phones. Matt, who's there?
Yes, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for calling Talk It Over. Tell us what's going on with you.
Well, the relationship I'm in is serious, and I really like the guy, but my mom doesn't like him.
Why?
Why?
Has she said why?
No, she doesn't really say why. She's just a very reserved person.
No one's good enough for her baby?
I can read her very well. I know when she doesn't like someone.
Oh, so you haven't even had this conversation with her. You just sense it. You sense that she does not like him.
Yeah.
So Lisa's calling us so that she can figure out how to talk it over with her mom?
Is she being passive aggressive? How is it exhibiting itself?
She is just kind of standoffish, and I guess I should probably talk with her about it, but I think that maybe I am resentful.
Oh,
and you know what, Lisa, to a certain extent, rightfully so, because mom's not, I don't want to throw your mom under the bus, but mom's,
oh, I do.
Mom's trying not to butt in. So she's trying to be a good mom, but she's also being pretty passive aggressive with you.
She's leaking cynicism and it's not attractive.
Agreed.
you know, she's harumphing, she's looking crossways at you, she's turning her back when you're talking about him, and, you know, doing all those subtle indirect things that aren't very adult. But the reason is because she's trying to preserve her relationship with you and not comment on it. The problem is it's seeping out her every pore, and you know what's going on. So it might be perfectly all right, and I can't wait to hear Diane's take on this because she's the one of us with a daughter, but it might be perfectly all right for you to say, okay, Mom, I get it. You don't like him. Let's talk about this. Yeah, and just call it out in the open.
Because you know what else, Lee J? Mom knows that Lisa knows that Mom doesn't like him.
Oh, yeah. And they Mom's upset that Lisa hasn't asked so far, right?
Yeah. But Diane, go ahead, because you have a daughter and she's got a husband.
Lisa, here's what's going on. Your mother is waiting for you to say, Mom, do you like Joe? Mom, what do you think of Joe? And you haven't asked her that, so she's keeping it all pent in.
And she's feeling undervalued, right?
She maybe will say, you know, he seems all right. I don't really know him. But the fact that you haven't come to her, he's important to you, but you haven't come to her and said, Mom, what do you think of him?
Okay.
Is maybe what's making her act the way she's acting.
Like her opinion doesn't matter. Like she
feels. Yeah.
And you're resisting because you don't want to hear what you don't want to hear. But go ahead, Diane.
Lisa, how old are you, may I ask?
I'm 25.
Okay, so that's old enough to be, you know, have a grown-up adult conversation. Hey, Mom, sit down at the table, drinking a cup of coffee, Diet Coke, whatever it is you're drinking. Okay, vodka. And just say, you know, Mom, I realize I haven't even asked you what you think of Joe, because I think he's pretty special.
But here's the thing, Lisa.
It's on the table and let her respond to you. It might be a real eye-opener.
Wait.
Yeah, I will. I think that's a good idea. I'll definitely stop pussyfooting around it and just talk about it.
Lisa, practice the question with us because we want to make sure you're not going to ask it in a passive-aggressive fashion. Like, okay, Mom, I know you don't like him. Practice.
Yeah, no.
Practice
don't do
on
that.
Us. We want to hear your tone of voice because it's really key here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You want me to say what I'm going to say?
Yes.
Yeah, and how you're going to say it to Mom.
And I can't say, Mom, I know you don't like him.
No.
Why?
Because it's a leading question and it puts her on the defensive.
More important than that, it acknowledges, it rewards the behavior she's been giving you. And you don't want to acknowledge it or reward it. You want to do just what Diane just did and say, you know, Mom, it occurs to me, I haven't asked you yet. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. Your opinion matters to me. I'm curious what you think of Joe.
Yes, very good.
Because I think he's pretty special. You know, it just dawns on me. I haven't asked you what you think of this guy, because I think he's pretty special.
Right.
Now she's on notice that you think he's pretty special, and you're 25 years old, and, you know, your opinion counts. You're not 16 years old anymore. But it lays it on the table and makes her bring down that passive-aggressive wall and talk to you like an adult. And until you put it in those words and that sort of a atmosphere, she's going to keep treating you like you're 14 or 16.
I'm sorry.
Are you allergic to cats?
Bless
Did you just sneeze?
I'm sorry. I was trying not to sneeze into the phone.
That's so funny.
That was so cute. I loved
it.
I'll take that as a yes.
All right.
It's a yes.
And you know what? It'll make her feel more appreciated and more part of your life, and all that's important too, Lisa.
Exactly.
All right,
Lisa.
Good luck with this.
Good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that.
Bye bye.
So cute.
I don't think we've ever had anybody sneeze on us on the phone.
But you know what? It just reminds me that there is this tug of war between mothers and daughters about the mothers needing to be needed and the daughters needing to say, "I don't need you, but I do." And it's just, if you get into these kind of almost saying things but implying things, if you get into these vicious cycles, this resentment just kind of like underlying resentment just builds and builds and builds. And mothers and daughters need to sit down and say, okay, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think?
Yeah.
With no judgment.
And you know,
it doesn't ever get easier either, I'll tell you.
At any age.
That's why it's important. And Diane hit on this with the last caller or emailer, I forget which one it was. And it applies again here. you've got to establish a healthy, talk it over environment mm-hmm. in every relationship you've got like this that's important to you.
Where it's safe.
Right. From a young age.
Oh.
Lisa can do it right now at 25 mm-hmm. because, look, for the next 20 years, she and her mom are going to be having difficult conversations because it's a close relationship. And every close relationship has difficult conversations. It's
right.
just part of what happens when you put two people together in a room.
Who love each other intensely.
Yeah. And care for each other and then have, yeah. you know, the dynamic issues that mothers and daughters have.
Hey, so I have a personal conflict I wanted to bring up. Do we have a minute for that?
Oh, or is she didn't say anything at the top of the show.
For your personal conflicts, Diane.
Well, I'm sorry,
she always
but
wants
I have
a freebie,
one.
Doesn't she?
No,
this
I,
one,
no, no, I want that. Yours right. are always so good
okay,
and dishy.
Okay, so here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. No, I'm going to speak very generally because I don't know who might be listening. But okay. You know, I work pretty much as a freelancer. I do lots of different things. I write books. I write magazine articles. I write for the Daily Beast. I write a syndicated column. I'm on Entertainment Tonight. I do a lot of different things.
We're just lucky she has time for us, Louise. Yeah.
Especially yeah, with and that and her affair with Tiger Woods, and that she fits
oh,
us
yes.
in. Okay, go ahead.
Because I know where he lives now. anyway, in the course of my work, I meet certain people who are really cool. I collect all these characters, private detectives and lawyers and, you know, whatever. And two people recently have come to me and said, okay, listen, since we're like best friends now, will you write about me?
Oh,
what?
Just write something. And
just,
it's like, what, hello?
Wow. Do you just want to see their name in print?
No, they either want it for their website or they want me to write something in my column, which will then go out nationwide about them. And they're not that interesting.
Hold on. Is one of these caller Tony's son who's yay for me, yay for me?
No. It's people you haven't ever
He's a gaffer on the TV show you're working on and he wants you to write a story on him, right?
No,
oh,
but it's, I mean, what do you say to people who want something for free?
Just say, as soon as you murder someone, I'll write about you.
Well, I actually have said things like that. What's a newsworthy thing? What's a hook? What's the news hook on you? You know, and they kind of laugh and say, no, really, I need it for my website. Well, you know what? Yeah. This is what I do for a living and I'm too busy. But that sounds like such a cop out. I'm sorry. I'm busy.
It's a good question.
How about if she said, keep reading and you'll see.
That's almost a promise that's not going to be fulfilled, though.
Yeah. Right. It's not.
And you know, it's funny because Louise gets that kind of thing sometimes, too. So all right. So what Diane has to do is she has to say, you know, that the scope of my column has to be really particular because my syndicator and the Huffington Post people and everybody else.
I report to a lot of people.
Yeah, I report to a lot of people and my column goes through heavy scrutiny and editing before it gets published. So the number one question they want to know is, who am I writing about and who wants to read about it? Because it's all about that. So, you know, you tell me, you know, gaffer on the TV show, mm-hmm. what in your life do you think the whole world would want to know about and want to read about it?
Mm-hmm. So that would work for my column, but what about what people say, hey, I'm getting up, you know, my own website. I like your website. I'm getting one. Would you write it for me? Will you? What?
No. It's just no. I'm sorry. I just don't. My plate is very full right now. What I write about is very particular. I just don't have... I don't have room on my plate for that. It sounds really fascinating.
The other thing is we live in a world where if you have a reality TV show, somehow you're a celebrity in our world today. And it mm-hmm. works the same way on the internet. If you have a site that gets a lot of hits and a lot of traffic, other people want to link to you because it helps their, you know, search engine optimization ratings and all that kind of stuff. So people know that Diane's site gets all this traffic.
She's a celebrity.
Yes.
No.
Celebrity. Nice.
Not
Louise.
Really, but it's DianeDiamond.com. Anyway.
I want to know if Louise just invented the word celebrity.
Look it up, Matt. See if someone has that.
I guess I was raised not to hurt anybody's feelings and
yes.
to do for others. And I want to always help, but I get so annoyed with all the requests, you know, write a blurb for my book. Oh, could you do that? Yeah. Okay.
You know, Diane, one thing you might do if your site is configured this way, and I don't know if you have the ability to add something like this, but you could just put a page that's linked, you know, to your site. That's just called something like Sites I Think Are Interesting. And every one of these promises, you could say, sure, shoot me your website address. I'll take a look at it. Oh. And, you know, then boom, I just list it with the other 50 or 100 or 150 that are sites I find interesting.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. And by the way, I'm not writing anything for your lousy site. Okay, right. I got it.
Yeah. They can't ask you to work for free because your plate is very full. But you have a Diane Diamond links of interest or links of note.
And I just realized that by this going out over the radio airwave, she's now going to get 5,000 invitations. Sorry, Diane.
I do have favorites on the front page, well, but yeah, maybe
these are less than that.
All right. And if anybody out there is listening, you know what? Don't ask me. I'm busy.
Okay. Very busy girl. Very busy girl. But she loves you so much. We're going
to
the phones.
Wait. For the record, before we go to the phones, Matt just went on the internet, and it turns out celebrity.com is already registered.
Oh, my gosh.
To Elmer
Somebody
Fudd.
Beat Louise to it.
To Elmer Fudd. But it's not. It's duck season.
But you know, Diane. In all seriousness, you do have a gorgeous site, and it is the envy of a lot of people. And at the end of that comes the compliment from all these people that they respect your celebrity and they like the site. So
they want to bask in the glow of your light.
Yep.
And we're going to go to the phones. Who's there, Matt?
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hi there.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling Talk It Over. Tell us what's going on with you.
Well, what's going on with me is that I have a wife who is very accepting and easygoing.
What the hell is wrong with her?
Well, that's her problem,
okay.
You see.
You're lucky.
The reason it's a problem is because she tends to attract friends who are very pushy and very obnoxious. And I can think of at least three of her friends who are that way. And their husbands are also aggressive and know-it-alls. And all they want to do is get together socially with my wife and her husband, and I want no part of it. And it's an ongoing problem. If it was a one-shot deal, I wouldn't care very much. You know, you just suck it up and deal with it. But it's an ongoing problem, and I don't want to have relationships with these people because I don't care for them.
So
and I have no idea of how to avoid it without getting my wife really unhappy and also putting her in a bad spot.
So, Bob, here's the in a nutshell. Your wife, we say your wife has a higher tolerance for loud, perhaps even obnoxious personalities than you do.
BS. Yeah.
And she sure does. I'm much more judgmental than she is.
Yeah. And so what's happened is she's more, you know, accepting or zen-like or just finds them entertaining personalities, especially it's a complimentary thing. If she's quieter, she's probably entertained by people who are boisterous in the life of the party and all of that. And you're saying, you know, these people are just obnoxious. I don't want to be around them. You've got to have a conversation with her about you can appreciate these people. I have trouble with them. Let's sort of figure out here how we're going to do this because I can only handle so much of them. I'll be around them sometimes with you. But you need to understand that it's hard for me. And I understand that you want to be around them. So let's talk about this. It's as easy as starting the conversation that way. How does that sound?
Well, it's really hard for her, too, because these people don't let go. They constantly are pushing, let's get together, let's do this, let's do that, and she doesn't know how to say no to them.
Bob's allergic to cats.
Do any of them have cats? And just say you can't go over for that reason. Bob, I really, you know what? I really admire you because there came a point in my life not too long ago where I looked at my husband and I said, you know what? I've reached the age where I don't want to spend time with people I don't enjoy.
That's great.
Life is too short. I'm too busy.
What are you trying to say to me, Diane?
Does she enjoys you? Otherwise, she wouldn't be here right now doing this with you.
So,
do you want me to move out?
I do admire your point of view. I really do. However, having said that, this does seem to make your wife happy. So, you know, it's all about compromise. And so I think Lee J's got really good advice that, you know, honey, sit her down and just say, honey, once in a while, but please, not every week. I can't do it every week. I can do it once every 4 weeks,
but
maybe.
Bob,
I'd rather it be one every 6 weeks. But
was I hearing you correctly, Bob, when I thought you were insinuating that even your wife gets a little fed up with these people, but she doesn't know how to say no to them. Am I right about that?
I don't know if she gets fed up with them, but she doesn't know how to say no to them.
Well, you could see. Well, how about if we help Bob help her?
Yeah.
How about if we do that? Help Bob help her.
So the first thing is, if she realizes that she's dragging you along against your desires, that'll empower her a little bit. Because she looks in the mirror and says, I'm not crazy about him, but it's not worth the conflict. She's conflict averse.
She wants to be liked.
Yes.
So let her know that, but then come up with a plan. My husband and I have a secret word. It's cantaloupe. I don't know how we came up with it. But when there is an invitation that's coming and we want to get out of the room or we want to leave the party, we say to each other, did you buy that cantaloupe? Something with cantaloupe in it. And we know, we're not going there. So devise a plan, devise a mysterious bowling game that you have on that night or some reason to give to her, to give to them, to just say no.
Okay.
And you know, Bob, part of it is really just letting her know that you need her to start saying no more often. Mm-hmm. And Diane's right. You know, you have to have a bag full of concrete excuses. You've got to also let her know she needs to, well, you don't want to say this to her, but between you and I, she needs to grow a spine a little bit more because she's making your life miserable and you don't have the tolerance for
it. And that will help her in turn.
Right.
Give you both the courage that
but then you have to take her out for a really nice dinner, Bob. So
exactly.
Dig into that wallet.
Well, considering how much I like to eat, that would be a pleasure.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Bob.
Okay.
I hope this has helped you. All right.
Oh,
well,
gosh. Who hasn't been there? You know, that you just don't want to be with those people.
Yeah, I think that's... And now I understand why Bob and his wife haven't had me over. Okay, so that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for sharing your problems and concerns and disputes with us. We hope we've been of service. I am Louise Palenker with Lee J. Berman, Diane Diamond. With that, Talk It Over is over.